The current tension with North Korea has refocused public attention on the Pacific. Well, it turns out that the military has been looking that way for a while now. It's moving ships and planes to the region, with not just North Korea in mind, but China as well. Earlier this year, the Pentagon sent Congress a four-year military forecast called the Quadrennial Defense Review. The report warns, in its words, China has the greatest potential to compete militarily with the United States. That's largely because China is rapidly upgrading its military, and the Bush administration says China is hiding much of its budget and its intentions. NPR's John Hendren recently visited the Pacific Command's headquarters in Hawaii and a military exercise near Guam. Here's his report.
It was the largest exercise in the Pacific since the Vietnam era. The mock battle off the coast of Guam, called Valiant Shield, involved three aircraft carrier battle groups and more than 275 aircraft. It was a complex scenario in which American planes and ships attacked a terrorist vessel at sea while attacking targets on land and in the air. It began, like the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, with B-2 stealth bombers launching the first strike to take out enemy anti-aircraft batteries. The B-2s are now stationed in Guam as part of a regular rotation of bombers capable of striking Asian hotspots fast. Guam is 13 hours closer to Asia by air than the B-2's home base at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri.
Lights off. Lights off.
On the sea were three aircraft carriers. On the first day, one carrier alone, the USS Abraham Lincoln, launched more than 60 sorties. Captain Kelly Ladd says one pilot, callsign Doofus, was lost in a virtual dogfight.
Did you lose any planes?
Yeah, we lost one.
So Doofus went down?
He did. But he took one out with him, so.
By the end of each day here on the USS Abraham Lincoln, the flight crew has overseen up to 100 sorties above the Pacific Ocean during Valiant Shield. Without the air wing, the aircraft carrier is just a floating hotel with noisy neighbors. E-2 Hawkeye planes provide surveillance. Radar jamming prowlers mask the Lincoln's location, and Seahawk helicopters conduct search and rescue and anti-submarine warfare. But as Chinese military observers who were invited here to watch have discovered, it is the F-18 Hornets and Super Hornets that are the strike force. The enemy in this scenario is capable of air-to-air and air-to-ground warfare. And Pentagon officials say among the few countries that fits that description likely to face the U.S. anytime soon is China. Among those talking tough about China has been Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who warned earlier this month that China was raising military tensions in Asia.
There are aspects of China's actions that can complicate their relationships with other nations. A lack of transparency with respect to their military investments understandably causes concerns for some of their neighbors.
The most likely flashpoint with China is over Taiwan. The Pentagon has actually drawn down its forces by about 50% since the height of the Cold War, making cuts in the Philippines, South Korea, and Japan. But proportionally, more resources are shifting to the Pacific. The Navy is moving enough assets to shift the majority of its carrier fleet from the Atlantic to the Pacific, mostly at U.S. ports. And the Air Force has made Guam an increasingly important hub, with Global Hawk surveillance planes and rotating bombers. The Bush administration has also focused its counterterrorism operations on Indonesia, the Philippines, and the Malacca Strait, a narrow waterway between Indonesia and Singapore through which half the world's energy supplies are ferried each day. James Kelly retired as Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific Affairs last year. He now lives in Honolulu. He says the shift in the Pacific was a long time coming.
In the Reagan administration in the 80s, I felt that our base structure in Korea was quite inappropriate. That big base in the middle of Seoul is a kind of a kick-me sign. We don't have the base structure that we had in East Asia in the Cold War, and we don't need it.
Kelly says the Pacific Command is hedging its bets with China to avoid a long and expensive Cold War.
Hot war, it seems to me, nothing could be more disastrous for the U.S., China, and the whole world.
But defense officials say the United States is hardly gearing up for a confrontation with the Chinese. Military analysts say it's part of a two-pronged approach towards the world's most populous country, a show of force combined with an effort at increasing cooperation. Lieutenant General David Deptula, the Pacific Command's number two Air Force official, says the last thing the United States wants is war with China.
What we'd like to do is to build a partnership and proceed in a peaceful relationship with our friends, the Chinese.
That is why the Bush administration has made some high-level visits to China recently, including one by Rumsfeld. The administration sought to break the ice after military relations between the two nations effectively shut down in 2001. That happened after a U.S. spy plane collided with a Chinese fighter jet. Admiral Bill Fallon is the commander of the U.S. Pacific Command. He says the invitation to the Chinese to watch the military exercise at sea comes with an expectation that the Chinese will do the same. The Chinese pointedly failed to invite the U.S. to a joint exercise with the Russian military last summer.
The message should have been pretty clear. This is the way business is done.
The massive military exercise off Guam was also a way of sending another message to the Chinese and others in the region.
Despite our significant engagement now for some years in the Middle East, that we still maintain not only the capability, but the will and desire to be very deeply engaged in Asian-Pacific security.
That message is not just aimed at the Chinese. The Air Force's General Deptula noted that the Valiant Shield exercise was long planned, but it began days after North Korea announced plans to test a long-range missile that could be capable of reaching Guam or Hawaii.
The fact that we have forces arrayed in Guam, quite frankly, on a day-to-day basis over the last couple of years in the context of our long-range bombers, allows us to respond over great distances in very short periods of time. Any potential aggressors should take note of that.
Among those spending time in the Pacific was a B-2 commander with a legacy to live up to, Lieutenant Colonel Paul Tibbetts IV. His grandfather, Pilot Colonel Paul Tibbetts Jr., made history when he left the neighboring island of Tinian during World War II. He ushered in the nuclear era when he dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima from the Enola Gay, a plane he named after his mother. The younger Tibbetts recently climbed into the cockpit of the plane the U.S. military would probably use if it carried out another nuclear strike.
It's a great opportunity to be able to really hone our skills, and I can't emphasize that enough, you know, because if you don't train right, you can't fight right. All right, you ready? Glass cockpit. The B-2s are basically mid-80s technology, but don't get me wrong, this is a very sophisticated flying computer. Two pilots.
John Hendren, NPR News.